This is WCNO, listener-supported Christian radio for the Palm Beaches and the Treasure Coast.
Good afternoon, radio listeners. Welcome from the Encouragers, Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael. We are on the air every Saturday at 3 p.m., bringing words of encouragement from the Holy Bible for everyday life. Please continue to listen in and be blessed. Our Father, who art in heaven, sovereign over everything, Prince of Peace, Mighty Counselor, please forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word from the Holy Bible. May what I say be helpful to someone and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My topic for today is Assurance of Faith, Part 2. Am I truly a Christian? This question can cause fearful trembling in believers. God loves to give his children the gift of the full assurance of faith. Our assurance of salvation does not come from a confidence in some subjectively measured inner witness, nor how warm our affections for God are at any given moment. Rather, our assurance comes from a growing confidence in Christ's saving work that purchased the fulfillment of all his great promises. To us and his power to keep them. 2 Peter 1:4 states, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Greater assurance comes from stronger faith, and faith only grows stronger through the rigorous exercise of testing. Looking unto the promise of God, Abraham wavered not through unbelief, but waxed strong through faith, giving glory to God and being fully assured that what he had promised, he was able to perform. 1 John 3:18, 19, and 24 states, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And therefore, thereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Every child of God has need of the assurance of faith, the full certainty of faith that the Lord has received him and made him his child. The Holy Scripture always speaks to Christians as those that know that they are redeemed, that they are now children of God, and that they have received eternal life. Can a child love or serve his father while he is uncertain whether his father will really acknowledge him as a child? Scripture names three things in which we have our certainty. First, faith in the word. After that, works. And then, in and with both of these, the Holy Spirit. First, faith in the word. Abraham is to us the great exemplar of faith and also of the assurance of faith. And what then says the scripture about the certainty that he had? He was fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. His expectation was only from God and what God had promised. He relied upon God to do what he had said. The promise of God was for him his only but sufficient assurance of faith. There are many young Christians who think that faith in the word is not sufficient to give full certainty. They would rather have something more. They imagine that assurance, a sure inward feeling or conviction, is what is given above or outside of faith. This is wrong, as I have need of nothing more than the word of a trustworthy man to give me complete certainty. So must the word of God be my certainty. People err because they seek something in themselves and in their feeling. No, the whole of salvation comes from God. The soul must not be occupied with itself or its work, but with God. He that forgets himself to bear, to hear what God says, and to rely upon his promise as something worthy of credit, has in his fact the fullest assurance of faith. He does not doubt the promises, but is strong in faith, giving God the glory, and being fully assured that what he promised, God is also able to perform. Then the scripture names also works. Here, carefully observe this. Assurance by faith in the promise without works comes first. The godless man who receives grace knows this only from the word. But then, later on, assurance is to follow from works. By works was faith made perfect. The tree is planted in faith without fruits. But when the time for fruit arrives and no fruit appears, then I may doubt. Excuse me. The more clearly I, at the outset, hold the assurance of faith without works on the word alone, the more certainly shall works follow. And both assurance by faith and by works come by the Spirit, not by the word alone and not by works as something that I myself do, but by the word as the instrument of the Spirit and by works as the fruit of the Spirit, as a child of God, the heavenly certification that he is the Lord's. Oh, let us believe in Jesus as our life and abide in him. An assurance of faith shall never be lacking to us. Almighty God, teach us to find our assurance of faith in a life with thee. In cordial reliance upon thy promises and in cordial obedience to thy commands. Let thy Holy Spirit also witness with our spirit that we are children of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us remember these points. Number one, the importance of the assurance of faith lies in the fact that I cannot possibly love or serve as a child a God of whom I do not know whether he loves and acknowledges me as his child. Number two, the whole Bible is one great proof for the assurance of faith. Abraham and Moses knew well that God had received them. Otherwise, they could not serve or trust him. Israel knew that God had redeemed them. For this reason, they had to serve God. How much more must this be the case in the great redemption of the New Testament? All the epistles are written to men of whom it is presupposed that they know and confess that they are redeemed. Holy children of God, faith and obedience are inseparable as root and fruit. First, there must be the root, and the root must have time without fruits. Then later on come surely the fruits. First, assurance without fruits by living faith in the word. Then further assurance from fruits. It is in a life that Jesus, that assurance of faith, is exalted firmly above all doubt. Number two, four, assurance of faith is much helped by confession. What we express becomes for us more evident. We are bound and confirmed by it. It is the feet of Jesus looking up into his friendly countenance, listening to his loving promises. It is in talking with Jesus himself in prayer that all doubtfulness of mind falls away. Go forward for the full assurance of faith. Some listeners may not have given their lives to Christ, but want to do so. John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you believe and are willing to follow Christ, then join a church that is based on the Holy Bible. Jesus was crucified on the cross for our sins. While on the cross, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. But after 3 days, he arose from the dead with all powers in his hands. Because he loves us so much, let us be obedient to his word. Now, a breath of fresh air with Minister David Michael.
Good day and welcome to A Breath of Fresh Air with the Encourager, Minister David Michael. Today's topic is the final word, and our scriptural text is Ecclesiastes, the 5th chapter, verse 2. It is written, "Do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven and you are on earth, so let your words be few." One day during a high school health class, a student made some disturbing remarks about the teacher's views. To the surprise of the other students, the teacher thanked him and moved on to another comment. When he was asked later why he didn't respond to the student, he said, "I'm practicing the discipline of not having to have the last word." This teacher loved and honored God, and he wanted to embody a spirit of humility as he reflected this love. His words remind me of another teacher, this one from long ago, who authored the book of Ecclesiastes. Although not addressing how to handle an angry person, he said that when we approach the Lord, we should guard our steps and go near to listen rather than being quick with our mouths and hasty in our hearts. By doing so, we acknowledge that God is the Lord and we are those whom he has created. How do you approach God? If you sense that your attitude could use some improvement, why not spend more time considering the majesty and greatness of the Lord? When we think about his infinite wisdom, power, and presence, we can feel awed by his overflowing love for us. With this posture of humility, we too need not have the last word. Be encouraged to practice the discipline of not having to have the last word as you communicate with your family and others. Let us pray. Lord God, we want to honor you and bow before you in peace and quietness. Teach us how to pray, how to listen, how to encourage ourselves in you, and help us to trust and obey your word as we strive to live purposefully by bringing you glory and upbuilding your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael, the Encouragers, bringing you words of encouragement from the Holy Bible. We hope that we have said something that was encouraging to you as you continue on your life's journey. Thank you for listening.